Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Good morning. I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Last night, the Senate failed to pass a bailout bill for U.S. automakers, and GM and Chrysler remain on the brink of bankruptcy. This morning, the Bush administration announced it will consider using funds from the bailout to help. I'm joined now by Jeff Green, Detroit Bureau Chief for Bloomberg News, who I imagine didn't get much sleep last night. Thanks so much for joining us, Jeff.
Yeah, not much sleep at all.
Well, we appreciate your taking the time. Now, there's breaking news as we speak regarding the White House's willingness to step in. Can you fill us in on the latest?
Yeah, the White House has said it would be willing to consider tapping into the troubled asset relief program. And the Treasury Department has also said it's willing to help out, you know, in any way that it can. It has about $15 billion left that it can give out, which is roughly what the automakers say they need to survive. One key thing, they said they would be willing to help to keep them going until Congress comes back, so they may be offering less money than Congress was discussing last night.
Well, how hopeful or hopeless is it as of this morning?
Well, with the news from the White House and the Treasury Department, it suggests somebody's going to give them the lifeline they need to stay alive at least a few more weeks and get them into the Obama administration. It's a lot different than what the sentiment was last night when Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid said, you know, we're going home. I hate to see what's going to happen on the market tomorrow. Not a Merry Christmas for Detroit.
And as you have reported, the Senate negotiated late into the night trying to pass a bailout bill for the automakers. They failed to do so. What happened there? What was the major sticking point?
It got down to when was the United Auto Workers willing to take a pay cut that the Republicans were seeking to say, you know, basically get everyone to take what they've been saying as a haircut. The UAW is actually speaking as we're talking, suggesting that they've given an awful lot and that they felt like they were being set up by the Republicans to be the fall guy for why this didn't go through. That's the UAW President Ron Gettelfinger saying that basically as we're talking.
All right. And there was a lot of high drama up on Capitol Hill. At the 11th hour, Republican Bob Corker of Tennessee proposed an alternative bill to the one that was passed by the House on Wednesday. What was different about his version?
He put measurable things in the bill. In other words, they would have to take a 70-cent on the dollar cut on their debt. The union would have to give up half of what the cash going into a retirement fund in exchange for equity. The union would have to cut its wages to equal those of workers at Toyota. Specific things that would have to be done, or they'd have to give the money back and go out of business. And, I mean, everyone was in his office last night right up until the final minute. Even Steven Feinberg, the chairman of Cerberus, which owns Chrysler, who's rarely seen in public, was in the hallway for a time last night.
And as you say, the major sticking point, or at least one major sticking point, seems to have been that U.S. automakers would have been required to cut wages to match automakers like Nissan, Toyota, Honda. And that part of the negotiation, what happens with that going forward? Going to be part of the discussions that begin as of today with this new hope coming out of the White House?
Well, that was going to be part of the discussions either way. They basically took what GM's plan already was, and Senator Corker made that into the law. So they're going to negotiate the wages. It wasn't even so much the amount. It was the timing of the cut that was under dispute last night. The union wanted a little more time to bring the wage cut in, and the Republicans wanted it sooner. And that's where it broke down. I mean, as Corker said, it was three words away from a deal when they broke down.
Well, let's talk a little nitty-gritty politics, if you don't mind, Jeff. Senator Corker, of course, has a big Toyota plant in his state. What role have the senators who have foreign automakers in their states played in all of this?
Well, there has been, it has tended to be the senators from the southern states that have the foreign automakers in their states who have been the biggest opponents to this. However, Senator Corker has actually changed his position quite a bit. He was completely opposed to anything 2 or 3 weeks ago. When he spoke last week, he was conciliatory, said the industry had actually made a lot of progress that people weren't giving them credit for. He's been the deal maker on this thing. He went from an opponent to somebody who almost got this deal done, a deal that most people thought would never happen.
All right, the evolution of a politician, it can happen. And we've talked about the Fed or Treasury or the president and what will happen going forward. Can you say a little bit about how much of a blow this was to President Bush late last night?
Well, he had pretty much put his administration on the line, thrown his support in for the Democratic plan, and said, you know, hey, I'm behind this, and he was rebuffed. So it is sort of a clear sign that, which is what we were sort of pointing out in our stories, that the Republicans had split with the president and are moving on to the next step.
Let's consider the worst case scenario, Jeff, as journalists we so often do. If the automakers are left on their own, is bankruptcy inevitable? And if so, how soon?
Well, General Motors had said they'll be below the amount of money they need to pay the bills, which you would think means bankruptcy by the end of this month, so in 3 short weeks, and Chrysler follows shortly after. And, I mean, creditors or suppliers are already starting to ask for money up front. So far, they haven't been successful, but that's the first sign of trouble when an automaker gets requests from its suppliers for cash on delivery. They normally pay 45 days out. It becomes a problem.
It's awful to have to think about this at the holiday season, but let's talk in terms of specifics for auto workers. What would bankruptcy mean for those workers?
Well, it depends on how quickly it happens and when it happens. They're estimating maybe 2.5 million people eventually will lose their jobs as this sort of rolls out. It's not just the auto workers. The suppliers to the auto workers will begin to go under, and then the suppliers to those suppliers and the people who rely on them. That's sort of the estimate that the economists have been looking at, is how this ripples out through, because most people assume that there's, you know, the U.S. auto industry is dead and irrelevant, and what this may have demonstrated, if it does happen, will demonstrate, is probably that the Midwest isn't the only part of the country that relies on the auto industry for its livelihood.
Well, and the numbers, Jeff, seem to vary quite a bit. Maybe you can help us out there. How many Americans are linked in terms of their jobs to the auto industry? How many American jobs are we talking about?
Well, it's hard to say. There's only a couple hundred thousand direct auto worker jobs tied to the U.S. automakers directly. Those are the UAW workers. So, I mean, I guess if this fails, we'll find out. I mean, it'd be one big grand social experiment, tongue in cheek, because that sort of is the debate. Ranges from it will hardly matter to 3 million people who would lose their jobs and hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes and revenue and unemployment that's tapped out, all those sort of effects. And that's sort of the big question that apparently the White House doesn't want to take that risk, which is, you know, what they're saying.
And we talked about this major sticking point, the difference in wages between American workers and those at foreign companies. What specifically, if we know, Jeff, is that number, the difference between workers in America and, say, workers at Nissan, Toyota, et cetera?
The hourly wage is about the same. The differences in the health care that's provided, and more importantly, in sort of the way the company accounts for retiree benefits. The foreign automakers don't have that expense, and the U.S. automakers do right now. If they stay alive until January 1st, 2010, all of those legacy costs for retirees gets put into a union fund, and that goes away, and it becomes almost parity. It was going to happen. It just eventually the U.S. workers were going to have, if the automakers like GM and Ford were going to have parity with the foreign workers. It was just going to take a year longer probably than they have time for now with the credit crunch.
And Jeff, there's been a lot of talk about change in management at the even calls for resignations at these big three automakers. What's the possibility there, assuming they survive?
Well, that's not been written into the law, so that, I guess, becomes up to the boards of management for those automakers or the Obama administration to decide if that's something they want to do. At this point, there's no requirement in the law for regime change. In fact, some of the senators who said, personally, they think maybe these guys should go, say, you know, politically, they don't think that's the business of the government, that it's up to the boards individually. There has not been any legislative attempt to fire anyone.
And let's talk a little bit more, Jeff, about President-elect Obama, who has a whole lot on his plate when he comes into office on January 20th. It seems that obviously he's going to be dealing with this. If we're looking at bankruptcy, that's going to be another big mess for him to clean up in January, isn't it?
Well, assuming that the White House is going to do what the White House says, then he won't have that problem to deal with. He'll have the problem of how to restructure these automakers so he's not dealing with the bankruptcy in September.
And how far apart, if at all, are President-elect Obama and President Bush in terms of what they'd like to see happen on this issue?
Well, as of 8 or 9 o'clock this morning, they got a lot closer together because they basically said whatever we need to do to save the auto industry is what we need to do out of the Bush White House, which is what Obama has been saying. Up until now, the White House and the Treasury had been reluctant to tap into money that was meant to rescue the financial companies for an industrial company. So, I mean, as of now, they seem to be a lot closer together. This is the bridge the automakers apparently need to get through to his administration.
And I'm on with Jeff Green, Detroit Bureau Chief for Bloomberg News. So, Jeff, what can we expect will happen next? Here we are at week's end, and then, of course, a new start, I suppose, Monday morning. What should the American public, the auto workers, the industry, and folks on Capitol Hill expect to see happen coming down the pike?
Well, once we find out what the details are on how the aid will be given to the automakers, whether it will have the same strings attached that were proposed in the congressional laws or if it will be just money given to keep them alive until the Obama administration and the new Congress can set those rules, that's sort of the unanswered question. It looks like some sort of funding is probably going to come, and now we need to find out, you know, the devil's in the details. What are the strings, or are there strings?
And I guess the best and final question should be, what will the White House help actually consist of? How much money are we talking about?
Well, they've asked for $14 billion. The Troubled Asset Relief Program, TARP, has $15 billion. So, I mean, we're probably talking something less than $15 billion. They need at least $4 billion to get through this month and $4 billion to get through January at GM and maybe $4 billion at Chrysler to get through to early next year. So, at a minimum, it's probably $12 billion they need to get through to the new Congress.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jeff, for taking the time to be with us and for your fine reporting on this story. That's Jeff Green, Detroit Bureau Chief for Bloomberg News. And I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer on WNYC.